Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. And when it comes to a particularly important but little understood aspect of that war, namely the economic warfare that is waged against the United States, it seems now all the time, just about, I turn to a friend and colleague now of many years, Kevin Freeman. He is one of the country's true authorities on matters involving global economic warfare. He's written two best-selling books on the subject. The first, Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again. And more recently, Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. Kevin contributes mightily to our understanding of all these matters at his blog site, globaleconomicwarfare.com. And also, as I'm very pleased to say, a senior fellow of the Center for Security Policy and as the driving force behind a terrific organization, the National Security Investment Consultants Institute. Kevin Freeman, you are graciously giving us a full hour of your time to explore in detail some of these economic warfare issues. I couldn't be more pleased and more delighted to welcome you back. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Frank. It's an honor.
Today, the Wall Street Journal gives prominent coverage to a topic that we've touched on in the past, but there's a news peg here that I want to use as an opportunity to revisit it, Kevin. The news story out of the Wall Street Journal is that Wall Street is jumping through hoops to see who can get a piece of the action of the offering of stock in a company called Saudi Aramco. And they're speculating that this offering could generate something on the order of $125 billion in the U.S. stock market, and that's an awful lot of fees, as you know, for whoever is able to broker it. Let's start with just sort of a reality check on the Saudis, and then we'll get to Aramco. You've been warning for some time that at best they're frenemies, and at worst they are actually hostile and engaged in economic warfare against this country. Talk about that if you would.
Certainly. The Saudis face a difficult reality in that with the fracking industry in the United States, we have developed the capability to be energy independent. And they recognized that as a serious problem. They began a price war, economic warfare, to break our fracking industry. They even admitted it at multiple conferences and multiple times. Now they've realized that if they ever allow oil prices to get back to the very lucrative levels that they had in the past, that America will again move towards independence. And so they have to secure their future financially in one way or another. And one of the ways that they're attempting to do this is with this Aramco sale. It does not mean necessarily in the Aramco sale that they're going to be great partners. In fact, it reminds me of the Lenin quote, the capitalists will sell the rope on which we hang them. The Saudis have cozied up to the Russians more than we would have expected, and the Chinese certainly, and they've seen this world shifting. They are no longer a solid American partner in the global marketplace.
Well, not least because on top of everything else, the administration's very clear realignment of U.S. foreign policy with their mortal enemies, the Iranians, has prompted them to look elsewhere for not only, I suspect, economic partners, but also security guarantees. And Kevin Freeman, one of the things that you've described to me, and I must say, having escaped with my life a couple of economics courses, it's always extraordinarily helpful to get your explanations of these things. The Saudis now seem to be expressing their rather different attitude towards the United States, not just with respect to taking down our fracking industry, but by exploring the possibility that they may, in the future, be happy to sell oil in some currency other than dollars, denominated in some currency other than dollars. That has very profound implications, geostrategically as well as economically. Walk us through that, if you would.
Sure. You have to go back to the 1970s when we had the energy crisis then. The Nixon administration and Kissinger negotiated a deal with the Saudis. You be regular and continual suppliers of crude, we'll pay for it. You only accept dollars in payment, and then you can recycle that money back to the United States by buying treasury bonds, which will be the safest and most secure place for you to put your money. And that was in place from the early 1970s until recently, when the Saudis began to discuss that they would accept other currencies. And it has just recently come out publicly that that petrodollar arrangement, which is what it's called, has in fact been the silent but certain arrangement that we've had. Recently, the Saudis have said, as you've cozied up to Iran, we may take something other than dollars. The Chinese want us to take something other than dollars for oil. The Russians want us to take something other than dollars. We may just do that, which means that we could dump or sell all of these massive treasury bond holdings that we have. Some say they're in the $150 billion range. The Saudis have claimed up to $750 billion. And they even threatened, if you expose us in 9/11 to lawsuits, from the 9/11 incident to lawsuits, we could just dump those in retaliation, which is a very direct threat of economic warfare. So that whole petrodollar system is unraveling. That's the basis for our currency being the reserve currency of the world, the primary reserve currency in the world. And if that unravels, it might make it much harder for us to sell our $20 trillion in debt overseas.
Let me just ask about this against the backdrop of what we talked about a moment ago, Kevin Freeman of globaleconomicwarfare.com. One of the things that we are, you know, presumably going to see is you have Wall Street very feverishly engaged in trying to promote this sale of Aramco stock, is pressure brought on our government by these institutions. Despite Bernie Sanders, despite even Hillary Clinton, there is a no question about it. These folks still have considerable sway in Washington circles on both sides of the aisle. What is your reading of how Wall Street will deal with the kinds of threats the Saudis are now making? Will they be demanding that the U.S. back off or do what the Saudis demand of us?
Well, you know, as one who's built his career connected to Wall Street, the financial service industry, and so forth, I have to admit that that industry goes where the money is. And if there's $1 billion of fees, as reported in the Wall Street Journal, up for doing business with the Saudis, every firm there is going to use every bit of lobbying clout that they can to get this deal done. You and I talked about the same sort of issue when Alibaba came public from China. We saw it as a potential security threat, and Wall Street pushed it through because there was massive earnings that they could achieve from it. So I'm very concerned that the Saudis' influence in Washington is already extensive through lobbying efforts, and now it's going to be even more extensive because they'll have Wall Street siding with them, not worried about what happens after Aramco has taken so much of Americans' money and invested it. It's a very frightening thought to me.
It is. Kevin, very quickly, and we'll have to pause here in a moment, but were you surprised, given all of that, that this bill that essentially opens up the possibility of suing Saudis for their involvement in 9/11 seemed to enjoy such bipartisan support in the Congress?
Well, I think it politically is very palatable, and so you've got to balance the votes and the money. And I think voting against that would have been a very difficult thing. So nothing surprises me with politics. In the end, it will be interesting to see whether the Saudi financial influence has more sway or the political populism.
Which has, as I say, both economic and strategic implications. Kevin, we have to pause for just one more second. We'll be right back straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom. With Frank Gaffney.